What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of the Starting XI podcast. We're so happy that you're back. And I mean, last time we left off, from the last time that we left off, a lot has happened. Of course, now we know the Champions League finals, Europa League finals, and this past weekend was very eventful, as is the rest of the week that is ahead of us. It's going to be a very eventful week, especially for competitions such as La Liga, League One, a lot of very important games to get to and to predict. But I want to start from where we last left off. We predicted Champions League. I think we all predicted Champions League final to be PSG against Real Madrid. We were horribly wrong. So I want to start with that PSG, Man City PSG game, because it was first. It was on last Tuesday. Of course, we all know the result now. But Spencer, what do you make of the game, of the performances from both teams?
I mean, I definitely was disappointed in PSG, especially in the second leg. I thought they were really going to have a strong go, but watching the game, it never really looked like they had a chance. Marquinhos hit the crossbar, but other than that, it seemed like their game plan was give it to Neymar and let him dribble around and then see what happens next, which obviously did not work. And I just overall was very disappointed in PSG's performance. But on the flip side, I do think Man City played well and deserved to go through over the two legs.
I mean, Nico, PSG have spent so much money over the past few years, big investments in Neymar, Mbappe, Icardi, players of that caliber, yet they still lack something. And yesterday they tied to Rennes. They might not even win League One this year. What's missing in this PSG team?
Well, of course, in the second leg, what was missing was Kylian Mbappe, no question. You know, that when you take away his speed, of course, he's more than just a speed threat, but his main attribute being speed. And, of course, he didn't even get to play. He was dressed up, but he was never going to come on, most likely. So that was a big loss for PSG, and allowed City to really move up their defensive line a lot higher up the field. Of course, Ruben Diaz was one of my highlights of the game. He was just amazing. Block shot after block shot, putting his body on the line. He was incredible. And he's really made, you know, John Stones now looks really good again. He's made John Stones good again. He's just been an incredible signing for City. But in terms of PSG, you know, I said it in the last episode, they lack experience in the Champions League. I don't care if they made it to the final last year in that janky Champions League format. They lack experience. And most importantly, I think, and we saw in this game once again, their attitude and their I don't know what word I used in the last episode. Their grit. Yeah, they don't have it. They don't have any. The game gets tough, and they just start fouling, stupid mistakes. And then, of course, it's topped off with Di Maria stomping on Fernandinho's ankle. And I know Fernandinho was, you know, following him for that throw in, whatever. But you just can't do that. And Verratti and Neymar, those guys just do not have any sort of self control. I'm not sure how you can't teach that. You know, you just kind of have to have those players. I'm not sure. You know, they're looking at Sergio Ramos. You know, he has that. I don't know if they can sign him or not. Whatever, but they don't have those guys that can really lead and control the attitudes of Neymar and so on. But I think, you know, in terms of Pochettino, I think he's able to spin this in a, we didn't have Mbappe second leg, and that effectively, that's not why they're out, but that's a pretty big reason. Once I saw Mbappe wasn't playing, I didn't think they were going to win that game. No way.
I mean, you mentioned Ruben Diaz, and rightly so, has been one of top class all season, has completely transformed Man City's defense. I want to go to Spencer with this question because some people online have been talking about it. If Ruben Diaz goes on to win this Champions League this year with Man City, is his campaign from this year similar or comparable to the one that Van Dijk had in 2018, 2019? Or is it even better?
I don't think it's near better, or I don't think it's on the same level. Because I just think what Van Dijk did to that Liverpool defense will never be recreated. I mean, Man City do not have a bad defense by any means. Liverpool's defense before Van Dijk was terrible. I mean, it was the reason why they didn't win the Champions League. It was literally their downfall. They'd had to win games basically 3-2, 4-3 every other week. And Man City, even two and three years ago, last year was a bit of a down, but had the best defense in the Premier League back-to-back mm-hmm. years. I think he had an excellent season, but I don't think he transformed the Man City defense anywhere near the way Van Dijk did to mm-hmm. that Liverpool defense. And, I mean, you see what happened to Liverpool this year when Van Dijk went down. And yeah. I think if Ruben Dias went down, Man City still win the league relatively easily with Laporte in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, nonetheless, Man City through to the Champions League final. I mean, pretty bad game from PSG. Didn't really create many chances. And, of course, as Nico said, mentality-wise, they're just not a Champions League winning team. But on the other side, we did have a former Champions League winning team, two former Champions League winning team, but Real Madrid, the team that has won the most Champions Leagues, the team that in this competition had the most experience on the team, gets knocked out by Chelsea, loses 2-0 away from home, which sends Chelsea to the final. So we'll have an English Champions League final once again. Nico, I want to go to you with this, because you're the fan here. And I mean, what are your thoughts on the game in general?
Well, my thoughts on the game, I don't like my thoughts in the game because I get very angry thinking about the game. It was a horrible game from Real Madrid. I said in the last episode it couldn't get worse in the first leg. It was just as bad. I just Zinedine Zidane, I've given him a lot of credit this season, rightly so. You know, he's been holding this team together, you know, by just pieces of tape here and there, holding it together. I don't even know how. The fact that they're still in the running for the Liga, which we'll get to, is incredible, and they made it this far, I think, is incredible. The injuries have been killing us, but, you know, there's a certain game plan that he got wrong in the first leg, very badly wrong, and I said that. And I would have never thought he would go out and have just as bad of a tactical game in the second leg as he did in the first leg. It made no sense. It made no sense to play with his five-back defending, especially when Vinicius Jr. is going to be your right wing back. It never worked. He cannot defend. And beyond that, every time he got the ball, he was so deep in his own half that's not where he's good. He's good on in behind. He's good on the run. He was never getting it there. Eder Militao ended up having to play right back because Vinicius wasn't tracking back very often, which was, you know, he had a fine game, but it just doesn't make sense to play him there. And one player that I'm not even sure what to say anymore is Alvaro Odriozola, who has been disrespected now. You know, he played Lucas Vazquez over mm-hmm. him. He played Valverde, center mid, over him. And now he's going to play Eder Militao over him in this Champions League game. Of course, Odriozola came back this weekend against Sevilla. And he played great, as he has been when he has played. I just can't believe Zidane didn't go with a classic 4-3-3. It made no sense. And on top of everything, of a horrible game, horrible tactics and so on, Eden Hazard had another horrible game, and he topped it off crying, laughing after getting knocked out of the Champions League semifinal. Mm-hmm. It's just, for me, as a Madrid fan, it's really sad. It makes me pretty angry that, you know, Madrid, and especially Zidane, has put his reputation in defending Hazard multiple times this season and last season, and he does this. It's like, come on. I don't even know what to say to that. It really makes me mad, though.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as I said before, we both predicted Real Madrid PSG. We all predicted Real Madrid PSG in the final, I think. So, again, horribly wrong. And, of course, I want to get to you, Spencer, on this game. Why, like, what made you predict? Just remind us what made you predict Real Madrid before the game, and how did Chelsea come away with such a, in my opinion, convincing win?
I mean, I picked Madrid largely due to their experience. They've been here before. Mm-hmm. Zidane is arguably the best finals manager in the world, and his track record in them is really unmatched. But mm-hmm. I don't even know what went wrong for Madrid. They just came out and looked flat. They didn't have
Zidane.
I mean, I'm not a Madrid fan, so Nico believes Zidane, but I mean, the players who were out there didn't really have the same energy and intensity that they did, like, when I watched them play against Liverpool, especially in that first leg game, when, like, Toni Kroos and Modric were absolutely dominating the midfield. That just didn't happen, whether that's due to an unbelievable performance by Conte, who, big shout out to him, I think he was man of the match in both legs.
Yeah.
Or just Zidane's tactics. I'm not completely sure what happened, but Chelsea were the worthy winners over two legs.
Yeah, definitely. I think Chelsea won convincingly because I think, like, right now, as it stands, I think they're a little bit underrated because of the slow starts of the season that they had, the switch in managers. But ever since they got Tuchel, of course, we all know they've been insane. And rightfully so, they're in the Champions League final after 10 years, I think, or something like that, 9 years. Predictions. What are you guys thinking, Nico? Who's winning it on the 29th of May?
You know, it's really hard because Chelsea's defense is just so tight. And you really can't break down. It's really hard to break down Chelsea. Of course, Chelsea did just beat Man City in the league. Of course, I'm not going to say it really means anything for the Champions League final. I think maybe mentally for Man City, you know, they Chelsea beaten them the last two times. That could be something. But this Man City team is just so good. They can play possession. They can play counterattack. They can defend. And they can just dominate you. And even that's all without really using a main striker. You know, Phil Foden and Mahrez and Silva and De Bruyne all alternate throughout that position during the games. I just think overall they're going to be too much for Chelsea to handle. But the one thing I would say for Chelsea is just their defense. And City are very – and Chelsea, the same thing. I mean, both teams were very wasteful in the semifinal games. You know, Chelsea could – the game could have been done very early on. They left Madrid in it, and Madrid were never going to score. Sucks. But – and the same with City. They had many chances. They didn't convert them. We've seen that this season in the Prem. So I'm going to take Man City, but I think it's going to be 1-0. Whoever wins, I'll take City, but it's going to be – low scoring, I think.
Spencer?
I definitely think it could go either way. My heart wants Chelsea to win for Pulisic and to deny Man City the first Champions League. But I really don't know. I think City are the better team on paper for sure. But if you go on recent form, I think Chelsea have been playing better. And I think Chelsea had the more impressive Champions League semifinal performance. I'm completely torn, but I'm just going to go with Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little bit of bias for me. I think I want Chelsea to win because I think along with a lot of neutral fans, we want to see Conte lift the Champions League with that smile. But I just think Chelsea's game against – both games against Madrid were so – like, they were clearly dominant in both games, and they dominated a team in Madrid that's been very good, like one of the better teams in the world this year. And if Conte can just keep up the level that he's at right now, if Rudiger, Thiago Silva, all these guys can just stay consistent and avoid getting injured – of course, as Nico said, we saw Chelsea beat Man City over the weekend, but he also said it doesn't matter, which is true because they didn't use their full starting lineups, and of course, it's just one game and anything can happen. But I think Chelsea is going to come away with the win, and I think we're going to finally see Thiago Silva and Conte lift the Champions League trophy. But moving over to the Europa League quickly, I want to go over it because we also know the final from that. Villarreal against Manchester United it will be. So starting with the Man United-Rome game, I mean, finished 3-2 for Man United in Roma. Could have been very different for anybody who watched the game. Roma, De Gea was just a wall and an octopus in goal. He got very lucky at times, and Roma could have gone up 3-1, 4-1, which could have been the start of maybe another remontada, but I mean, at the end of the day, 6-2 is hard to come back from. So I don't think there's any surprise in Man U going through. But I think we all want to talk about the Villarreal game against Arsenal because Villarreal reaches the Europa League final. I think it's their first European final in club history. So, Nico, you, the guy who follows La Liga, the Spaniard in the podcast, what does this mean for Villarreal?
I mean, it's huge. It's huge. It's been this season has been incredible for them. You know, the owners decided to really go for it this season, getting Unai Emery, experienced coach. You know, Danny Parejo and Francis Coquelin in the midfield have been two incredible signings. It was a group signing from Valencia, of course, their biggest rival. And talk about a sad season. I mean, Valencia is just super sad to see, but whatever. So, yeah, I mean, this game shouldn't have been close. Arsenal, in the second leg, they have two chances off the post. That's fair. But their attacking opportunities, they never look like they're really going to score. Villarreal, they shouldn't have gotten that first goal in the first leg, Arsenal. But Villarreal were dominant. On the ball, they are incredible. Again, as I said, Coquelin's kind of like a mini Conte. Parejo is literally just Tony Cruz, but Spanish. And mm-hmm. Going forward, of course, Chukwueze went off hurt. He went off on a stretcher, so that's a little bit scary to see. I'm not sure where he's going to be going into the final, but he is just an incredible threat. And Gerard Moreno, you know, 27 goals this season. He's one of the best strikers in the world. And so Villarreal, for me, definitely have a chance in this. I'm not going to say I take them to win, but they really are the mini Madrid in Spain. And, I mean, they're as tough as you can get. And their bench is also something that needs to be talked about because they have very good depth. A lot of signings this summer. And for sure they can give Man U a hard game in that final.
Spencer, who are you taking in the final?
I'm taking Man United. I think Villarreal are a great team, and I especially am a huge fan of the way Danny Parejo plays in the midfield. Yeah. I think he's a massively underrated player, and I think he could be crucial for Spain at the Euro Cup this summer. Yeah. But I just think Man United just have more quality in pretty much every area of the pitch. Mm-hmm. And I'm not completely sure who's going to get the start in goal for Man United. I think it could go either way. But if De Gea plays the way he did in that second leg against Roma, I think it'll be extremely tough for Villarreal to score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, it'll be exciting to see. Of course, two huge games, which just take part in an amazing month of May, which is going to bring us a lot of great football. And then the Euro comes right after in June. So it's amazing to see for football. But I think we've covered the European competitions, and now we can dive into individual competitions and national competitions. I mean, where should we start? I think we could start in League
Spain.
One.
Spain.
Or Spain.
We're going to Spain. Let me transfer us to Spain. Okay. This weekend was incredible. Well, I mean, you know, for me it was just up and down emotions. But these last two weekends have just been insane. You know, going back to 2 weeks ago, right, when Atletico Madrid beat Elche 1-0, 92nd minute penalty for Elche, miss. Just heartbreaking for me watching live. It would have been a tie 1-1. He just missed it off the post. Of course, I think it was 2 weeks before that. I'm not sure who it was, but it was also another like 85th minute penalty in which Atletico Madrid won 1-0 and Oblak saved it. So now it's two penalties, 85th minute plus Atletico Madrid have gone away with. It's just unreal luck. It's really, really annoying.
Is it luck?
I mean, Oblak is amazing. But Elche, I forget who took it. Very good striker though. What's his name? He just missed. He missed. It was. Oh, man, it's like, I mean, come on.
Oblak is a scary keeper to shoot against.
And yeah, we'll get to it. And I mean, especially after this weekend.
Okay, so yeah,
it's not like Madrid are without.
Okay. That's fair. But I mean, yeah, that was heartbreaking. And then going into that same weekend, Valencia take the lead against Barcelona. They give away one of the worst penalties I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, please go look. The defender jumps in the air and swats it with his hand. I don't know what he's doing. And Messi misses a penalty, but they get the rebound. And so they ended up winning that game 3-2. Crazy game, though. And Sevilla lost to Athletic Bilbao that same weekend. So that kind of knocked them out of the race. Unless they were to win against Real Madrid, which yesterday's game was just mad. Of course, Atletico Madrid and Barcelona had tied the day before. So that was Madrid's chance. If they had won, they can take first spot in the league. And they don't. Very frustrating. Of course, Sevilla went up 1-0. Madrid fought back, and then Sevilla got the penalty. Of course, that sequence, please go look at it if you haven't. Again, crazy drama. Madrid go get a penalty, but it's called back for a Sevilla penalty. And Madrid get what? What was it, 94th minute or something? 95th minute? Cruz shoots it onto Hazard's foot, and it goes into the goal. So there's just been a ton. Of course, that goal is huge because it keeps them above Barcelona. And then coming into this week, you have Atletico Madrid against Real Sociedad, first versus fifth. It's really Atletico Madrid's last hard game in the league, and it's going to be huge. So, I mean, look, the table right now, Atletico Madrid still remains top. Madrid really missed out on an opportunity there. Crazy game, though. Barca third, and Sevilla, I think, you know, they needed that win to stay in, and they don't. So they're still at fourth, 71 points. But, see, where do you have this going? I mean, it's been just – crazy emotions, crazy ride. It's definitely not over yet. I think it will go to the final week. What are you thinking?
I mean, big game on Wednesday, actually, against Atletico, against Real Sociedad. Wednesday in general for football is a huge day. Like, this week is insane. These past couple weeks, as you said, have been crazy. But I think, I mean, speaking lightly about Sevilla, Sevilla's objective, I think, was from the beginning just Champions League. So that's they got the job done. I was kind of disappointed in Barcelona. I thought they could come away with the result. And obviously Real Madrid got a little bit lucky. But, I mean, you need luck to win championships. And luck is going to play a factor in the last three games. And I don't remember exactly who I predicted to win La Liga in the last episode. But looking at it now, I think with Real Madrid getting knocked out of the Champions League and being able to focus everything that they have on La Liga, I think even though they're 2 points behind, mistakes are going to be made from Atletico Madrid in the last three games. All they need to do is tie one game and Real Madrid can win out and win. So I think Real Madrid will come away with it. What are you saying, Spencer?
I mean, I just think it's essentially every single game is essentially a cup final for the rest of Atletico Real and Barcelona for the rest of the season. And I think if Atletico Madrid beats Sociedad, they'll win the league. But I don't think they will, and I think Real are going to end up winning it.
Yeah. I mean, again,
I guess I have Real.
Like the run-ins, you know, Real Madrid's remaining schedule is just super hard. It's the hardest out of anyone. Granada, who's trying to get European spot. Bilbao, who's just a really good team. And, of course, Villarreal, who's trying to get European spot. Great teams. Barcelona do not play very good teams outside of the Vigo. But other than that, it's a pretty easy run-in. And the same with Atletico Madrid. Past this weekend of Real Sociedad, they have Valladolid, who is fighting for relegation, but also Osasuna, who's a mid-table team. They're not going to challenge very, very much, and they're not going to move up or down. So Madrid have a super hard schedule going forward, and I still think that every team is going to drop at least one more game. No way anyone's going to win out. No one's consistent at all in this league, at least these top three teams. So it's going to be so close. But I'm really sad that Madrid did not take the opportunity to beat Sevilla. Of course, they were missing their whole back line, starters, as they had been the whole season. Whatever, it's just, it is what it is. So I do think Atletico Madrid, in one game, it really does. It will win in the league, I think, if they beat Real Sociedad. I'm with you, Spencer. So I will have to take Atletico Madrid. But it's just so frustrating. And Madrid blew the opportunity to take first spot.
Yeah.
Do either of you think Barcelona have a chance?
I think so. I mean, all 100%. Three teams have a valid chance.
I mean,
it's very small margins that are separating them.
For Barcelona to win, they need Madrid and Atletico to drop points.
And which is easy.
Who has the tiebreaker over Barca and Atletico?
They tied the last game 0-0.
They tied both games.
Atletico do. Because they won 1-0 on the 21st of November.
And again, Barca's schedule does not compare with Madrid's schedule.
I mean, Barca would need Atletico Madrid to lose, not tie.
Yeah.
And for Madrid to drop points as well, on top of winning out.
I mean they're not out of it. Again, I still think the top three teams are all going to drop points. I think Madrid will tie against Sociedad. But frustratingly enough, I don't think Madrid are going to take first spot against Granada. That's just another really hard game. And Barcelona, they could be right in there with it. And they have an easy schedule other than the Celta de Vigo. So it's going to be super close, 100%.
Yeah, and we'll be – I mean, I'm sure later this week after the games playoff, after the 36-week or game day, we'll do another episode and we'll update you guys on that. But switching over to Spain's neighbor, France, the other league competition that's very close now, but is seemingly getting clearer and clearer that league leaders Lille are going to run away with it. I mean, two games left. Lille are 3 points ahead of PSG. They have the tiebreaker because they beat PSG and they tied 0-0 earlier in the year. So Lille realistically just need to win one of the next two games against Saint-Étienne or Angers. I mean, historic season for Lille. But I think personally, I just want to point out, I mean, of course, we can say Lille had an amazing season. Props to them, an amazing young squad. And it's incredible to see such a young squad come away with a potential league win. And I hopefully we'll see them win and hopefully we'll see some change in League One, which is good. But I also want to point out PSG, which Nico talked about before, mentality. And here, again, it shows Kempembe, 87th minute, they're tied 1-1. They need to go up forward, score. And he does a stupid tackle, gets a straight red card and gets sent off in the most important part of the season. Dirty, dirty play, just bad tackle from a good defender who is respected in Europe and is a solid defender, but is making stupid mistakes like that and did another bad tackle against Man City. I think it's just been similar. Like, that just shows PSG's character. And I think it's one of the reasons why they haven't this year. They might not win a League One. Their character and the lack of leadership on that team and the lack of identity, I think also. They don't have their own style of play. They just play everything through Neymar or Mbappe when he's there. And, I mean, it's just something that they're lacking. And it shows this year with Lille coming close, almost and very close to winning League One. And the race for Champions League is actually very tight too, with Lyon 1 point behind Monaco, who's third, which is a Champions League spot in League One. But Spencer, I mean, Lille, of course, they got Timothy Weah, who is one of the best strikers in the world right now. apart from Timothy Weah, what's made Lille so powerful this year and so, like, just a new team, really?
I mean, I think a lot of it does have to do with the North American, just not the North American I love.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Jonathan David has been unbelievable for them. I mean,
I think early on he looked like a flop.
Yeah, but he was horrible. I mean, that's completely changed.
Yeah,
there that front two of Jonathan David and Barak Yilmaz has caught unbelievable form recently.
Yeah.
So
the best moment.
Renato Sanchez too. I mean, talk about a resurrection of a career.
Yeah. Him too, but I mean, it may not. Tim Weah has some support. Is the main thing. Also, but also Mattia. PSG actually has the tiebreaker over Lille because France does it based on goal difference, not head-to-head.
Oh, okay.
And currently PSG have a 12 better goal difference than Lille.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes it even more interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Nico, what do you What are your thoughts on this crazy, crazy League One campaign?
Well, I'm super excited to see, you know, competition like this in League One. It's about time, mm-hmm. other than that Monaco team a few years ago. I think Lille are going to win out. They really fought back in that game against Lyon. That was a great game, and mm-hmm. and they've won the two games after that as well. Mm-hmm. In terms of who they play, I think they can beat both teams, you know. And yeah, you're right. I saw it again. I'm glad you brought it up, Mattia. It's the same thing against PSG. The mentality in that game just wasn't good. The game got hard for them, and they caved mm-hmm. in. And that red card is the prime example of that. It was just dirty, late, unnecessary, and you know, you drop points. And so I think Lille, you know, they're really focused, laser focused, and I think they can win these last two games. Now I can't say that for certain that PSG will win both of these next two games. You know, they're have their inconsistencies for sure. But real quick, one thing I want to ask about PSG is, you know, they fired Thomas Tuchel, who's transformed Chelsea, as we know. They got him Mauricio Pochettino. And I think, for me, the question should be asked, not he's going to get fired, because, you know, he's not doing anything bad, per se. Mm-hmm. But he really hasn't changed this PSG team since he's arrived. I mean, is that, like, he's not enough time? Or what do you think, Tia? Because I really haven't seen anything from him to say that he's making this team better in any way.
I don't think we can – I think he joined, he won a trophy immediately, I think like 3 days after joining, something crazy like that. There was a lot of banter about his days at Tottenham compared to his days at PSG. But I think we can't really criticize him. It's not fair to criticize him or start asking questions about his coaching abilities quite yet. I think I want to see – what moves PSG make this summer, because it'll be really interesting to see. I think Neymar just re-signed, so he's going to want people around him to take PSG to the next level, hopefully. But I think it's going to be interesting to see, and I just want to see who Pochettino wants to bring in after so many years spent at Tottenham, where his budget was much, much smaller than what he has now at PSG.
Spencer, what do you think?
I mean, talk about potential signings. I think there's one that could be very interesting depending on the results for the rest of the season, and that's Cristiano Ronaldo.
Let's go to Serie A after that.
It's a good transition to Serie A, but I think, as Nico has made clear, if Juventus finish fifth, Ronaldo will never step foot in the Europa League. And I just think that PSG could be a good destination for him. And a front three of Ronaldo, Mbappe, and Neymar would just be unbelievable to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's not dream. I mean, Messi would be cool to add to, I guess.
Play Messi
at Cam.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, with those four at top, you can just go six in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play the good old 6-4 formation.
Mm-hmm. With Ramos as a center back. Yeah. Okay, I mean, we'll see this summer. But, I mean, speaking about Ronaldo, Juve, Italy, let's move over to Serie A, where the race for the top four Champions League spots is heating up. It's been heating up. Of course, my Milan yesterday, triumphant win over Juventus, 3-0, could have been 4. Missed penalty from Frank the Tank. But, I mean, as it stands, Atalanta, Milan, Napoli, and Inter, Champions League spots, only 3 points separating fifth and second place, though. This is a huge win for Milan, especially because not only do they separate themselves from Juve, but they get the tiebreaker now because they lost the game at home 3-1. They won this 3-0, so the tiebreaker is theirs. So I think that's an advantage, but these last three games are going to be incredible. Milan has to play Atalanta on the very last match day, which is going to be an insane game. And then we have Roma, who is all the way down in seventh, who is struggling right now. And they're not even in a Europa League spot, and they were recently in the semifinals of Europa League. So a lot has happened. And speaking of Roma, Mourinho new coach of Roma. So we have a lot of things to talk about in Serie A. But, I mean, Nico first, because, I mean, either of you, well, I think the main thing to talk about here is Juventus.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying it all season
and,
long.
And little update. Little update during this morning. They had a board meeting and they decided not to fire Pirlo. So something to keep in mind.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I've seen it all season long. This team is not good. They don't have good players. And Pirlo sucks, just to, you know, top it off. Pirlo has not transformed
this team. It's a little harsh.
Look, here's the thing. He was brought in because Juventus want to move away from this defensive Italian football style. You know, they want to get with the newer teams, open attacking play. He's come in. He hasn't done any of that. His 4-4-2 formation has not done anything for them. He's been playing it too much. And, you know, there's nothing here. In the games where they do win, it's get the ball to Ronaldo and make him do something. We saw it the week before against Udinese, which they should have lost. They should have lost that game. Ronaldo saved them at the death. So this team is not good. Pirlo has shown nothing for me. I mean, again, he doesn't have good players. I agree with that. But, you know, there's certain levels, as I've said, that you want to integrate certain things into a squad, certain basics. This team, when you watch them play, there's no game plan. I don't see any game plan defensively, offensively. The midfield is always so – the midfield gets dominated almost every game I watch them in. It's horrible. And you have players like Rabiot couldn't get a game in a PSG. Ramsey couldn't get a game in at Arsenal. You know, Weston McKennie, great young player, but he's young. And he's been one of their best players this season. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense in the beginning why they're rebuilding after signing Ronaldo a few years ago. None of this makes sense. And Juventus, they don't deserve to make the top four because they've never been consistent this season. In saying that, I still think they will make the top four.
Ahead of who?
Well, that's the question. I mean,
they're 1 point behind Napoli right now.
Yeah, I mean they
three
play
points
Inter Milan.
Behind Milan and Atalanta.
Yeah. I mean, Inter Milan would definitely want to beat them, you know, to get them out of the Champions League, 100%. Bologna are a team that are mid-table, right? They're not going to go up, not going to go down. So I think that in theory, should be an easy game. But again, you can never trust Juventus in any game this season. So it is hard. I think Atalanta-Milan last game of the season, that's just going to be huge for both of them and Juventus and Napoli, really. I still think Juventus will make it. I think Napoli are the team that will miss out, even though they do have an easiest run-in teams. Again, can't go up, can't go down. They haven't been consistent either. But that's me saying Juventus just because of Cristiano Ronaldo. Other than that, there is just nothing from this Juventus team. There's just nothing.
Yeah. Spencer?
I mean – first, I want to give – I know Matias happy. I want to give credit to Milan.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it was Kaya a bad performance. It was a bad performance from Juventus, but it still takes something special to beat the Champions League – the champions, including Ronaldo, 3-0 in a game they really needed to win. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Milan, they started off great and have been kind of fading, but I think this kind of – cemented them as a team that should be in the champion, and you have to admit they do deserve it based off their performances this season. But I mean, Mattia, you might have read more. I saw Zlatan went down with an injury. Do you know how serious
that is? He during the game he would like his head was cut a little open by De Ligt, but he kept playing, and then he another play with De Ligt, he went up for a header and he landed badly on his knee, but it shouldn't be anything serious. He was on the sideline, very happy, smiling, laughing during the game. So it shouldn't be much of a worry.
And, you know, one thing for Juventus, if they don't make the Champions League, which is a real possibility, of course, you know, the financial burden that's going to hit on them is humongous. I mean, you talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, who, as Fletcher said, I do not believe he will ever step foot in the Europa League for his own ego, dignity, whatever. He will not do it. And you know, Juventus pays that guy almost like $75 million a year in total. which is just huge. And, you know, the money they used to buy Chiesa was loaned money. That wasn't their money, along with other signings. So they really need to make a change.
If they fail to qualify Champions League, they could lose out on 90 million euros,
so,
according to Italian newspaper
Gazzetta. And it's going to be more than that because it's highly likely that Ronaldo will go. And
right,
yeah. Especially, it doesn't seem like they'd be able to afford him if they missed out on Champions League. They were already rumored to needed to sell Weston McKennie to raise funds, even if they had made the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And
disaster.
It's been a disaster for Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who's gonna make it.
I don't like to be pessimistic, but I think although Milan, of course, excellent against Juve, must win game, and they came away with the win, they have tough games to play. And even though it's against Torino and Cagliari, they're in the relegation zone. So these are teams. Cagliari is one of the most in their last. I think they won like five straight. They've gotten 9 points out of 10, something like that. I don't know. Some statistic, they've won, I think, four of the last five. Torino as well. It's a little worse than Cagliari and worse form, but still a team that needs to ensure that they stay up. And it's always a team that can cause problems with pretty good players. And, of course, Atalanta, who we lost to 3-0 earlier in the season. And so, I mean, we'll want a revenge, but Atalanta's a world-class team, and there's no slowing them down right now. They won 5-2 over the weekend. It's going to be tough, but I think surprisingly, I would like to predict that Juve does stay out of the Champions League. Oof. And the table stays as it is right now. But, I mean, that's what I hope happens, but really anything could happen. Really, really. I mean, again,
I think Juventus will miss out. Oof. I mean, I think one thing that's going to come to hurt them is Milan and Atalanta have the tiebreakers versus them. So if all Milan have to do is win two out of their last three games, and they're guaranteed it. And Juventus have a hard schedule as well. I don't think they're going to be able to beat Inter Milan, and Sassuolo's not bad. They're in eighth and could potentially finish seventh, which I'm not sure if it gets the Europa League in Serie A.
No.
Oh. But they're still not a bad
Europa League qualifier. So.
Hmm. Sassuolo's a good team. Yeah.
I just think Juventus are going to end up missing out.
And real quick, I mean, if I'm Pirlo, it doesn't matter at this point what you want to do with this team, what philosophy you want to put in. You have three games. You have to win all three. You just have to. And it really is just get the ball, Ronaldo, and let him score. No more of this stupid attacking, three-phase attacking that he keeps talking about in his press conferences. Just finish off the season and get Champions League. Because if you don't, he won't be there. I cannot imagine that he's there next season if they don't finish in the top four. It would be incredible for me. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, we'll keep you guys updated. I'm sure we'll record another podcast later in the week because a lot will have happened. But I mean, we can quickly go over the Premier League. The top four, the top six races is heating up a lot. A lot of big games. So West Ham dropping points, and unfortunately, I mean personally, I don't see them making it to the Champions League, which was at one point in this season a dream of theirs. I mean, I'll go with Spencer first here because Liverpool, if they win their game in hand, they find themselves only 3 points back of a Champions League spot, which seemed unlikely a couple of weeks back, but now seems in their grasp with four games left for the Reds.
I mean, I think the Newcastle win over Leicester City was huge.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure if Liverpool are going to win out, but I think if they do win out, they will make the Champions League, which is a lot to say. Mainly, at the United game on Thursday is going to be huge for them. That is as much of a must-win game as there can be.
Yeah.
So I think if they win out, they will make the Champions League. Leicester, of course, have a very hard schedule with United, then Chelsea, then Tottenham, with an FA Cup game sandwiched in the middle of all of those. So I do think Liverpool are going to be able to just sneak in at the fourth spot.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea, like, that was a pretty great game against City. Kun Aguero really screwed up on that Panenka. Horrible Panenka. But yeah, I think Liverpool, I've been saying it for a few episodes now, they have a very easy run in other than Man U, of course. But Leicester are crashing. And Man U next for Leicester. And then Chelsea and then Tottenham. I'm not so sure how many points they're going to get out of those. So for me, I do think somehow Liverpool is going to sneak into the top four. I'm really disappointed in West Ham, though, because they've really kind of blown it. That Newcastle result was horrible. And then the Chelsea, you know, it's Chelsea, okay. But then Everton yesterday, it just sucks. It sucks. But they have an easy-ish run-in, at least. So there is some hope for them. But, yeah, I do think Liverpool will claim the top four, and I think Leicester will drop out just as they did last season. They crashed at the end. Sucks.
Newcastle's really shaking up the top four. They took points from Liverpool, Leicester, and West Ham in three of their last four games.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Steve Bruce masterclasses.
All right, well, I do think that it does wrap up. I guess one quick hit we can touch on real quick. Jose Mourinho to Roma. Spencer, what are your thoughts? You excited or what are you thinking about that?
I mean, he doesn't get money at Spurs and crashes and burns, so he decides to go to Roma.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there are many top teams that would take Mourinho at this point.
Yeah.
So in some sense, it was good, and Roma won't have high expectations. And I definitely think a defensive style that he plays won't get as much criticism in the Serie A as it does in England. But,
yeah.
I mean, for Roma, I'm not sure why they would want to take a short-term manager when they're clearly in need of a long-term rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, their best players, you know, Dzeko, Mkhitaryan, who else? I mean, they're Smalling. Those guys aren't developing. Those guys are already developed. And they're just, they're okay, but they're not going to go get top four, probably not next season, or do anything beyond that, challenge the Serie A. And yeah, why would you go to the Tottenham of the Serie A? That doesn't make any sense. I'm really, the thing that surprises me is, like, it happened, he signed for Roma, I think it was like 17 days after being fired from Tottenham. I mean, he really moved on from Tottenham. And so I thought he was going to wait maybe after the Euros. There might be a job that opens up. But you're right, the top clubs in Mourinho right now are not very compatible. But, I mean, I guess Roma is a top club. So doesn't make sense to me, but I guess we'll see. It's another him and Conte next season. That'll be an interesting little battle in this area. But, okay, I think that's it. We will wrap up here. Great episode per usual, and we thank you guys for listening. We can't wait to see you guys in the next one. Big games coming up, and we'll touch on that next week.